Today's podcast looks at the ballad Sweet William's Ghost. I look at its background and printing history, sing samples of different tunes and versions, and end on a full performance.
Oh, sweet Margaret, oh, dear Margaret, I pray thee speak to me. Give me my faith and troth, Margaret, as I gave it to thee. Thy faith and troth you'll never get, nor yet will I thee lend, till that you come within my bower and kiss me cheek and chin. If I should come within thy bower, I am no earthy man, and should I kiss your rosy lips, your days would not be long. O sweet Margaret, O dear Margaret, I pray thee speak to me. Give me my faith and troth, Margaret, as I gave it to thee. Thy faith and troth you'll never get, nor yet will I thee lend, till you take me to yon churchyard and wed me with a ring. My bones are buried in yon churchyard, afar beyond the sea, and it is but my spirit, Margaret, that's now speaking to thee. She stretched out her lily-white hand, and far to do her best, there's your faith and troth, William, God send your soul good rest.
The tune and words for that version of the song were first printed in 1790 in A Selection of Favourite Scottish Songs, edited by William Napier. Fair Margaret is visited in the middle of the night by the ghost of Sweet William. He wishes to take back his promise of marriage, his plighted troth. When he explains that he's dead and his body is buried, Margaret frees him from his promise so that he might lie easy in his grave. In the past century, to plight one's troth, which literally means to pledge the truth to someone, was a serious step in a relationship. A promise of love and engagement to marry was considered binding. In the past, when society was often restricted to a village or a small town, the commitment of marriage was a serious affair. This was backed up by religious rules. Divorce was not possible to ordinary people. In the early ballads, the plighted troth was seen as binding even after death, which is why the ghost returns after death to take back his promise. Later versions of Sweet William's Ghost seem to have had some confusion in the meaning of the plighted troth, which means a promise of marriage. In the original, Margaret returns the promise by agreeing to end the engagement, and she touches William's breast as a physical act of the return of this troth. In some versions, she strokes his breast with a wand. As the language changed, it's likely that later singers mistook a plighted troth for something in a form of a gift or a physical symbol of love, sometimes a key, or in more strongly Christian societies, with a silver cross. This ballad was first printed in 1733 in Alan Ramsay's collection of poems and ballads, The Tea Table Miscellany. This version shows the ballad in its simplest and probably most original form. There's some dispute that the final two verses are more modern. When he disappears in a cloud of dust and Fair Margaret dies of grief, may represent the original ending. 100 years later, in 1827, in Minstrelsy Ancient and Modern, edited by William Motherwell, the storyline is extended, with Margaret asking about three images surrounding the grave. One represents three maidens that William had promised to wed, the second for three babies that the maidens had, and the third are hellhounds waiting for his soul.
She followed him high, she followed him low, till she came to yon churchyard. Oh, there the grave did open up, and young William he lay down. What three things are these, William, that stands here at your head? It's three maidens, Marjorie, that I promised once to wed. What three things are these, William, that stand here by your side? It is three babies, Marjorie, that these three maidens had. What three things are these, William, that stand here at your feet? It is three hellhounds, Marjorie, that's waiting my soul to keep. She took up her white, white hand and struck him in the breast, saying, have there again your faith and troth, and I wish your soul good rest.
The tune for this version was collected from Mrs. Amelia Harris by her daughters around 1855. The text is from the Minstrelsy Ancient and Modern, edited by William Motherwell. These texts can be found in Professor Francis James Child's collection, The English and Scottish Popular Ballads, along with five other early collected versions of the song. Professor Child makes comparisons of Sweet William's Ghost with other European ballads and tales that share a similar storyline. Sweet William's Ghost was printed on a broadside using the same text that had been printed in Alan Ramsay's collection. The ghost appears to Fair Margaret as a figure with substance rather than an ethereal spirit. In the earliest known versions, she touches his breast in order to return the plighted troth. This reflects the early concept of death, in which the body remains in the grave rather than being whisked off to some form of heaven. It was thought that the spirit remained until the last piece of the corpse was rotted away. The ghost appears as a revenant, a living dead, who can converse with the living in a physical form. Bertrand Bronson assembled 11 tunes by Sweet William's Ghost in his The Traditional Tunes of the Child Ballads. Only two of the printed samples are British. A tune was first printed in 1790 in A Selection of Favourite Scottish Songs, edited by William Napier, using the text originally printed by Alan Ramsay. This tune was reprinted in 1792 in the Scots Musical Museum, edited by James Johnson. The song was collected in Ireland in the 20th century. The text seems to be a later text, similar to the versions found in North America. The American and Irish versions of Sweet William's Ghost have added a visit to the church or the manor house, with the doors opened by supernatural forces. Margaret insists on a formal marriage service before she'll give up the plighted troth. This later addition to the text is illogical. The formal marriage would bind the plighted troth by a legal and spiritual promise and ceremony. The return of the original promise of love would no longer be relevant. The ending of the ballad is signalled by the crowing of the cock, first the red cock and then the grey cock, which reminds the ghost that he must return to his grave before daylight appears. I will end this podcast with a version of Sweet William's Ghost collected by Robin Morton from Sandy McConnell of Fermanagh in Northern Ireland.
Margaret lay on her cushioned bed, the midnight hour drew near, a ghostly form came to her room, and to her it did appear, to her it did appear. Are you my father, the king, she said, or are you my brother John, or are you my true love, William, coming home from Scotland along, along, coming home from Scotland along? I am not your father, the king, he says, nor am I your brother John, but I am your true love, William, coming home from Scotland along, along, coming home from Scotland along. Margaret, lady, Margaret, he sighs, for love or for charity, will you give me back the plighted troth that once love I gave thee, that once love I gave thee? I'll not give you back your plighted troth, nor any such a thing, until you bring me to yon high churchyard, and there marry me with a ring, there marry me with a ring. He took her to yon high churchyard. And as they entered in, the gates flew open of their own free will, to let young William in, to let young William in. He took her to yon high churchyard, and as they entered in, they joined their hands in wedlock bands. And he married her with a ring, a ring. He married her with a ring. Margaret, Lady Margaret, he sighed. For love or for charity, will you give me back the plighted troth that once love I gave thee, that once love I gave thee. Out of her pocket she drew a cross, and she laid it on his breast, saying, here is back your plighted troth, and in heaven your soul find rest, find rest. In heaven your soul find rest. The wind doth blow and the moorcock crow, it's nearly breaking day, and it's time the living would part from the dead. So, my darling, I must away, away. So, my darling, I must away.